everybody. I'm Karen Hartglass, and it's time for It's All About Food. How are you today? Huh? I don't hear you. How are you? I'm good. I'm really good here in New York City on this lovely, it's another one of those hot, humid summer days, and I'm digging it. It's just seems to be right. I want to get started. I'm very excited about my guest today, and I want to get right to the meat of this show because it's all about the end of meat. The end of meat. Are you ready for the end of meat? The end of meat, it actually is a film, and we're going to be talking a bit about it right now with two of my guests. We've got Mark Pearsall. He's a sociologist, author, and filmmaker from Münster, Germany. He's the co-founder of Roots of Compassion, the author of Vegan, Vegane Lebensweise für alle, which is Vegan Lifestyle for All, An Introduction to Veganism, and Vegan Lecker Lecker, which is Vegan Yummy Yummy, I believe in English, a vegan cookbook with over 40,000 copies sold. He also is the co-director of Edge, Perspectives on Drug-Free Culture, a documentary about the U.S. straight-edge subculture, and director of Live and Let Live, a documentary about the ethical, environmental, and health reasons that move people to go vegan. We're going to talk a little bit more about that in a moment. And we've got Jeff Wirth, a filmmaker, photographer, and all-around documentarian from the Pacific Northwest United States. Jeff spends most of his time traveling around the world doing video and photo work for a handful of grassroots and NGO groups and organizations. Although he likes to document many different things that catch his eye, Jeff has a soft spot for anyone trying to better this world. Hello, Mark.
Hi, Karen.
How are you today?
I'm great, thanks.
Great, thank you for joining me. And Jeff, formerly known as Jack for a few minutes on my social media pages, how are you?
I'm wonderful, how are you?
Very good, okay. Well, let's jump right in and get started. So tell me about the end of meat. What is it? Why do we need to know about it?
Sure. Well, it's going to be a documentary. It's not filmed yet. We're still funding it to be filmed, and we're starting in August. And the idea is to explore how a world without meat would look like. Basically, how could we live in a vegan future? And we will be talking to philosophers, to scientists, to artists, and to activists who are working in some way or another on that idea. And yeah, we're really excited to start filming and work on the documentary.
Well, this is a very different kind of approach, seeing what the world would be like, and I love it because it's positive. And unfortunately, to get this message across about what's going on in the world today about meat production, there's so much violence and horror and just horrible images. And I really love focusing on the positive, and I love this idea of imagining what the world could be like. I'm imagining it's going to be a happy story.
Yeah, absolutely. I hope so as well. And we have several ideas on how to approach this. You know, we're going to be looking at the ethical side, how will we treat animals in a world like this? What kind of rights would they get? There's a very interesting book by Will Kimlicka and Sue Donaldson, two Canadian authors, and the book is called Zoopolis. It's a citizenship approach for animal rights, and it's very interesting, a very interesting read. So we're going to explore that a bit. We'll talk to them, and we're also looking at ways of representation for animals. Since animals can talk to us and communicate with us directly, we will need someone who can represent them. And for example, there are pro-animal rights parties in various European countries that already are working towards that approach. And you know, we're also going to be looking at what we're going to eat in a post-meat world. You know, obviously, we know that as vegans, but we're going to be looking at lab meat, if that's an alternative to change, an alternative for a vegan future, and how this would impact the environment and our health.
So let's go back a little bit. You've made a few other films. What moved you to do this work?
Yeah, it was during the shooting of our last film, Live and Let Live. We were on the road with two activists from Animal Equality, and they were doing an open rescue. They've rescued six hens from a battery farm, and I was in the car with them when they took them to their new home, and it was really inspiring, inspiring experience. And at that time, I was wondering how could a world look like where we don't exploit these animals, how we live together with them in peace, and that was the idea of The End of Meat.
Right. Lovely. Now, Jeff, how are you today? You're good?
I'm good. All things are good up here in Portland, Oregon.
Yeah, you're in a very groovy spot.
I like to think so as well.
I'm sorry that I had you as Jack.
No worries.
I've tried to correct it, you know, on all my pages and whatever, so, but, you know, I do that from time to time. I'm not quite sure. We were filming a little promo piece on a local vegan restaurant here in our neighborhood a few months ago, and I was interviewing one of the staff whose name was Henry, and I kept calling him Brian. I don't know why, but maybe there's something to Jack with you.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
if you ever figure it out, you can let me know, and I won't feel so bad about making that mistake.
All right.
Okay, now I noticed in the picture that I have of you, you've got a lovely little Sea Shepherd hoodie on.
Yeah.
Are you affiliated with Sea Shepherd?
Yeah, I've been doing media work for Sea Shepherd the past 2 years. The picture that you're referring to was taken on the last campaign, Operation Icefish, where Sea Shepherd went down with two of our ships, the Sam Simon and the Bob Barker, and we went down to try to catch six illegal poaching vessels known as the Bandit Six. And that picture was taken when the Sam Simon was spending 5 weeks retrieving illegal gillnet that one of the poaching vessels put in the waters of Antarctica.
Wow. The Sea Shepherd does some incredible work. Everyone that's involved with that organization has to be very, very brave.
Yeah, the Sea Shepherd's definitely doing work that no other ocean conservation organization would dare to do. I mean, going down there with two ships facing six ships is, you know, pretty overwhelming and a daunting task for any organization to take on, for sure.
Yep. And I thank you for your involvement with that. And anybody who's not familiar with the Sea Shepherd organization, Google it and start learning. I want to say this organization not only, this is going to be silly, but I just feel like saying it, not only do they walk the walk, they swing the swim.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, in deep, dangerous waters. Okay,
and cold.
Now you've got, excuse me?
I said, and cold waters.
And cold water, yeah, it's deadly if you're not careful.
Yeah.
And, you know, those waters, they're really not meant for us. We're not supposed to be messing around in there. Those are for very, very different individual species out there to live their lives, and not for us to be torturing them and then eating them.
I agree.
Or doing something else with them, like, I mean, it's just crazy what we do with other life beings for all kinds of strange reasons. Now, you've got a new project. Mark, tell me about what's going on with your Indiegogo project. How far have you gone, and what's the reaction been, and what are you planning on doing with the funds? And
So, a few weeks ago, Mark and I started the Indiegogo campaign to help with travel expenses and post-production expenses. And we are a month or so into the campaign, and we only have 5 days left. We're trying to raise 30,000 euros, and right now we are around 18,000. So we have around 60% completed. So we still need quite a bit more within 5 days, and I can't express how important this support is to our film. Like, you know, Mark and I are two broke filmmakers, and we can't afford to travel around the world and pay, you know, a camera crew a living wage to make this film happen. And we think this film is a very, very important animal rights film, and we can't wait until we start shooting.
Yeah, well, I don't know much about it, but like I said at the beginning of this program, I really love the concept of showing us what the world could be like, rather than showing us what the world is like right now, which in many cases is not very pretty. I really believe, you know, that there was that film, The Secret, The Law of Attraction.
Yeah.
And there's a lot about that film I didn't care about. There's a lot of woo-woo-wah-wah stuff that I don't think is really... has been supported. But I do believe in this idea of putting forth positive ideas in order to make them happen, rather than focusing on the negative aspects of some particular idea, focusing on the positive, talking about it, putting the images out there. This is so important in order for it to happen. And this is the first step.
Exactly. That was the one of the sole reasons why I signed on to help Mark film this movie. I didn't want to help Mark make another animal rights film that, you know, that's just like every other animal rights film, showing, you know, what's going on that's bad. Like, we know it's bad, and we're trying to, with The End of Meat, we're trying to move past that and show what we're working towards, show what kind of world is possible. And I'm very excited. I don't think, you know, this is a new original take on animal rights filmmaking, and I'm very, very excited to be a part of it.
It's an interesting world that we live in. Art is so important. I'm an artist in different ways. I think it's part of what life is all about. It's unfortunate here in the United States and many other parts of the world where we don't encourage creativity and we don't encourage the arts in our young people today. It used to be more important years ago, but now because of cost cutting in all kinds of weird ways, we're cutting back on something that I think is so essential to humanity, the arts and creativity. And most artists, you know, we hear that expression all too often, a struggling artist, because it's so true. We don't want to support our artists, and we need them desperately, not only to understand ourselves, express ourselves, but also to see what our potential is.
I agree.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm also, regarding the last question, I'm also hoping that this film will be an inspiration to everyone who's working towards a better future for animals, because, you know, then there's another reason if we actually show that there's another way of how we treat animals in this world, that more people will start, you know, working towards a better future.
Now, in the United States, we have all kinds of new regulations, laws that are coming into play where we're not allowed to film inside factory farms, CAFOs, confined animal feed organizations, operations, excuse me. There are more and more laws that are actually squashing our concept of freedom of speech to be able to show what's wrong so that we can take action against it. And I know other countries are learning, unfortunately, from this and are starting to make similar kinds of regulations. What's going on in Germany?
In Germany, over the last like 2 to 3 years, we've seen a really rise in veganism. The number of vegans actually has doubled in these 2 years or 3 years.
Wow.
So we've seen a lot of new restaurants, vegan restaurants opening up, and we've seen a lot of cookbooks coming out, and there's new vegan products coming out like almost weekly. So the reception of veganism in the mainstream media is really positive at the moment. So there's really a positive movement going on also, as well as regarding animal rights. You know, people interested in animal rights and working towards animal rights. So I think it's a really positive thing right now, and I really hope it gets going.
Can we talk a little bit about your film Live and Let Live?
Sure.
Great. I remember I'm not sure when I first saw the trailer, but my partner Gary and I, we both really loved it, especially with the person brushing the pig.
Yeah.
And there were some really lovely images, and I didn't realize that it was available to watch on YouTube.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So it's an excellent film, and I recommend people watching it, especially if you're curious about this next film, The End of Me. You can watch Live and Let Live, see the kind of work that you do, Mark, and then be moved to support this next project.
Yeah, thanks. And it's also available on DVD. You can get it from Food Fight and from Amazon, and there's some extra material on there, like extra interviews and a few bonus features.
This is a film that local groups can get the DVD, and then they can show it at an event and talk about it.
Yeah, we're offering the screening kit on our website, and you can, you know, people or organizations can write to us if they want to screen the film, and we've had lots of screenings all around the world with the film, and we have had a lot of positive reactions towards it. So it's just a basic introduction to veganism, and we followed around some people who have really interesting stories. You know, there's a chef in Portland, Aaron Adams, who used to be a butcher and then he opened up a vegan restaurant. Or there's a dairy farmer in Germany who opened up a sanctuary, and all these are very inspiring stories, and it's really a nice film to watch.
Yeah, I agree. Those were two very heartwarming stories. Of course, you've interviewed a lot of people that we're familiar with here in the United States, T. Colin Campbell, Gary Francione, my favorite friend, Tom Reagan, and Peter Singer, Will Potter, all great activists in the movement doing wonderful work. And it's a very nice film, so thank you for that. And I
Thanks.
Encourage people to check it out, Live and Let Live. Okay, so you're not quite at your goal. What happens? I want to put it out there and say that in the next 4 days you're going to make your goal. This is the kind of project, Indiegogo, you get to keep what you raise, whether you made the goal or not.
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, the goal of 30,000 euros is our ideal goal. That's how we want to make the film and how we think the film should look like. We can, in the worst case, we can work with less, but we're going to have to make a couple of changes, and it's not going to be quite as the way we want it.
Yeah. Now, can you just give me maybe a little teaser or something? How do you see the world in the future if we're not eating meat? Is there like one little image that I can swirl around in my head?
We're also going to be looking at animal sanctuaries, farm sanctuaries, and we're going to look at it if that's, or ask the question if that's going to be an example for a way how we can live together with farmed animals or animals in general. You know, how can we organize communities around animals so they are safe, they don't get harmed, you know, they don't get hit by cars or by other kinds of traps that are all around us, you know, birds hitting windows or pollution or habitat destruction, all these kinds of things. And we're going to be looking at these small examples, but because right now there's no larger example we can look at, but I'm hoping that in the future these sanctuaries can be examples for larger communities.
Mark, tell me, what does a vegan eat in Germany? And what do you like to eat?
I like to eat pizza. And
pizza!
I love pizza, yeah. And there's lots of vegan restaurants right now. So in Münster, where I live, we have four vegan restaurants now and lots of vegan options. So it's really easy to eat out, and you can get lots of vegan products, lots of cheese alternatives, meat alternatives, and yeah. It's really easy to be vegan here.
Amazing.
Yeah.
It frustrates me. I'm really excited to hear about it, but I lived in Europe, in France, in the early 90s for about 4 years, and I visited Germany quite a bit, Munich mostly, but all around and there was a vegetarian restaurant here or there. You could always go to a Reform House and buy some soy milk or maybe a package of some sort of veggie pate, but it was difficult. And I ended up eating a lot of spaghetti mit Öl und Knoblauch.
Yeah, absolutely. It was really, really difficult. Like 10 or 15 years ago, I remember when I first became vegan, I had no idea where or what I could eat. So it has changed tremendously over the last couple of years.
Yeah, so what I just said was I used to eat a lot of spaghetti with oil and garlic, which was good. Not the healthiest, but that was really all I could get in a lot of places. I'm so glad to hear that it's changing. Jeff, I wondered, I remember speaking to Laura Bacon a while back. You know
yeah.
her?
Yeah, of course.
Of course. So she is the cook for the Sea Shepherd, and she has a new cookbook out.
Cooking Up a Storm.
Right, right. What do you eat when you're traveling on a ship?
We eat the exact same things that we eat when we're not on a ship. So the cooks that are on the ships are, you know, the galley is the heart of the ship. They're the masterminds of the ship. They have to plan out, you know, 3 vegan meals a day for 30 to 35 people every single day, no matter how rough the weather is, no matter, you know, if we're getting rammed by a ship. They have to be there in the kitchen, in the galley, making the food. And we have cold rooms and dry rooms that we keep all of the food in. So, for example, this past campaign, we were at sea for 144 days, and we were eating fresh fruit the entire time.
Wow.
Yeah. Beautiful. I mean, the first thing that we start to run out of is greens, so we'll run out of, you know, our spinach and lettuce, but apples and oranges and kiwis, we were eating the entire time.
Well, I think that's really an important bit of information for people who think, you know, how difficult it is and how often they have to shop. There's plenty of food that you can keep at home and be ready, where you can go days and months eating healthily without even going shopping, although fresh greens are very nice and nutritious to have around.
Yeah, we were growing and eating our own mushrooms throughout campaign. We got a few mushroom starter kits, so we would water our mushrooms every day, and every few weeks we would pick some new ones, so that was pretty fun.
Wow, I love that. You guys are amazing. Okay, just a few more minutes. Let's just wrap this up about the end of meat. What do you want us to know that we don't know already, or repeat what you'd like us to do?
Well, for starters, I think the most important thing is for us to, you know, tell you that our Indiegogo campaign ends in 5 days, and you know, without your support, this film won't be possible. Every dollar that you give us, you know, goes towards travel costs or post-production. We want this film to be the best that it can be, and we can't do that without your support.
Yeah, and you can already, pre-order the DVD or the digital download.
Okay, so that's all you have to do is go to Indiegogo and then search for The End of Meat.
Yeah, we have lots of awesome perks that you can get when you donate to the campaign. Like Mark said, you can reserve your DVD, or we have insider packages where you get where you can get T-shirts or stickers, you know, the digital download. DVDs, including The End of Meat and Mark's last film, Live and Let Live. And we have the behind-the-scenes diary where you get pictures of production of us filming on set and lots of interesting things that you wouldn't be able to get otherwise.
Okay, well, thank you. I want to encourage people to support this project. I really think it's an important idea that needs to be born and come alive and grow so that we can have it in our consciousness and make it a reality.
Thank you very much.
End of meet. You're welcome. Thank you for joining me, Mark Pearsall and Jeff Wirth.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, Karen.
Okay. Take care. Be well.
You too. Bye.
Okay. That was that. And I hope you do check them out and visit the website, The End of Meet. Let's see. I didn't mention that before, and I want to make sure I get it right. TheEndOfMeet.com. How simple is that? TheEndOfMeet.com. And that will lead you to the Indiegogo project if you don't want to go to Indiegogo directly. And you can sign up for their newsletter. It's in German and in English, so you can have fun with that. And I give this a big thumbs up. All right, let's take a little break, and we'll be back in a few minutes.